The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
All right. Welcome, welcome. I have the distinct pleasure of introducing Raquel Salas Rivera and Cynthia Dewey Oka, two beloved friends, writers who I admire. I'm going to share some words about their work, and then Raquel will be sharing with us poems, and we'll be in conversation with Cynthia Dewey Oka, which I'm really incredibly excited about. So thank you for coming. Thank you for making time. Is it Monday, Tuesday? I don't know. It's just not the weekend anymore in my head, so we're just going to roll with this. But it's such a great way to kick off the week. It is a real joy to introduce these two writers whose work I think is incredibly urgent and necessary. The language they offer us resists passivity and demands something more from me as a reader. These are poems that insist to be looked in the eye, and the stakes could never be higher. We are talking about words that enact better futures, decolonial futures in the face of destruction, in the face of state violence and colonialism, transphobia and borders. In this moment of our collective story, where hope is spun as an empty remedy, a shortcut to lowercase our rage, Raquel and Cynthia fight for a language more complex, whole, remembered. Perhaps, like what Dewey Oka writes in Salvage, the body doing what the body must. Or as Salas Rivera writes in The Tertiary, you didn't have time to fill out the form for change. And there are poems that are more like people and poems that are more like solidarities. Raquel Salas Rivera is the 2018-19 Poet Laureate of Philadelphia and the author of 5 full-length books of poetry. These poetry collections include Lo Terciario, The Tertiary, long listed for the 2019 National Book Award for Poetry and winner of the 2018 Lambda Literary Award for Transgender Poetry. While They Sleep Under the Bed is Another Country, long listed for the 2020 PEN America Open Book Award, and XXX, winner of the inaugural Ambrosio Prize. The recipient of a 2021 National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship and a grant from the Mellon Foundation, he serves as a principal translator for El Proyecto de Literatura Puertorriqueña, the Puerto Rican Literature Project. In his latest poetry collection, Salas Rivera imagines a future decolonized Puerto Rico. Originally from Bali, Indonesia, Cynthia Dewey Oka is the author of Fire Is Not a Country and Salvage from Northwestern University Press and Nomad of Salt and Hard Water from Thread Makes Blanket Press. Her poetry has appeared in The Atlantic, Poetry, Academy of American Poets, Hyperallergic, Guernica, The Rumpus, ESPNW, and elsewhere. A recipient of the Leeway Transformation Award and the Tupelo Quarterly Poetry Prize, she is currently poet in residence at the Amy Clampett House. Without no further delay or ado, please let's put our hands together for Raquel Salas Rivera, who is going to come out right now.
Hi. So I didn't know Denise was going to be here. And I love Denise.
I love you too.
I'm just going to read poetry. Is that good? Okay.
Yeah.
This book has many sections. I wanted the title to be ambiguous. Quería que fuera ambiguo el título, ¿verdad? Como antes que la isla se forme, primero volcán, pero también antes de que la isla sea volcán, ¿verdad? Estas cosas tienen que pasar, you know. So I wanted to think of it as, you know, both before the island can be islanded, its first volcano, but also before the volcano can come, right? These are the things that have to happen. It doesn't translate as well, the ambiguity in English, but it's there. So I'm just going to read. La aproximación. El trato pertenece al agua. Designa la totalidad de relaciones que tienes con otro. Se podría decir que la vida que se trama entre dos es trato. Tratar el agua es curarla para el consumo, pero tu trato habla volúmenes de tus ganas de presenciarnos. Al tratarte como agua, te asumiría como esencial y cotidiana. A esto aspiro cuando me enamoro, a que seas mi agua. Como somos los dos de aquí, estamos un poco contaminados y el trato debe tomarlo en cuenta. Te trato como una isla que mira a otra isla y entiende que el agua es poder. Sé que mezclo cosas, pero el trato es la mezcla de todas las cosas que nos hicimos cuando nos quitaron la tierra, talaron nuestros bosques y repartieron los frutos. No es metáfora cuando digo fruto. A veces es metáfora cuando hablo del agua y de nosotros. Es fácil confundirse con tanto lenguaje de percebe pegado a nuestro muro. Confundirse es una manera de acercarse. Me aproximo, fallo y me enamoro. El trato es la suma de las relaciones que tuve con cada persona que conocí en esta isla, a quienes amé en menor y mayor grado. Si me hirieron o me quitaron la camisa, igual son parte del trato que firmamos. To approach. Treatment belongs to water. It designates the sum of all relations one has with another. You might say the life schemed between two is treatment. To treat water is to cure it for consumption, but your treatment speaks volumes about your desire to bear witness. To treat you like water, I'd have to assume you as essential and daily. I aspire to this when I fall in love, that you be my water. Since we are both from here, we are a bit contaminated, which treatment must consider. I treat you like an island looks at another and understands water is power. I know I'm mixing things, but treatment is the mixture of all the things we did to each other when they took our land, cut down our forests, and distributed our crops. It isn't a metaphor when I say crop. Sometimes it's a metaphor when I talk about us and water. It's easy to get confused with so much barnacle language stuck to our wall. Confusion is a way of getting close. I come close, fail, and fall in love. Treatment is a sum of all relations had with each person I knew on this island, each I loved to a greater or lesser degree. If they hurt me or took my shirt, they are still part of the treaty we signed. Deconstrucción de un hogar. Cuando la brisa tumba el sol, y a lo mejor pierdo los números importantes o el celular se me agota en una siesta eterna. Juego un juego tan peligroso como creer en la permanencia del tinte o comprarme un mueble para el apartamento. Juego a que soy las ruinas de una casa abandonada, en un terreno sin título registrado, una casita de 3/4, un baño, una sala y las rejas más hermosas. Se me cae el pelo en cantos, nadie me baña. Las paredes se ponen enclenques, quedo hecho costillas manchadas por el sudor y el hollín. Se me pelan las rodillas sin amor, los perros me mean el candado enmohecido. Me siento a veces casa, a veces persona que juega a tener casa. Los años pasan, de noche los múcaros anotan mi caída en cámara lenta. Los ratones traen migajas, me ocupan 100 pies y polillas. Desarrollo nuevos hábitos. Lo llamo estilo de vida. La soledad me acompaña por las fases del día, un segundo sol que ruega hacia el cielo. Sé que el mundo sigue sin fin, pero veo cómo se mudan los vecinos, sus casas sin vender, prontas a acompañarme en nuestras soledades. Mis dueños por allá me imaginan igualita, comienzan a darme pena con su idea de quién fui. Su esperanza de recuperarme pronto, pronto. Pero soy unas ruinas con aspiración a casa. Pero soy unas ruinas.
This is my first in-person launch.
Deconstruction of a home. When the breeze knocks down the sun, and I maybe lose the important numbers or my phone knocks out in an eternal nap, I play a game as dangerous as believing in the permanence of dye or buying furniture for an apartment. I pretend I am the ruins of an abandoned house that sits on unregistered land, a house with three rooms, a bathroom, a living room, and the most beautiful railings. My hair falls in chunks. No one bathes me. The walls grow gaunt. I'm all ribs stained by sweat and soot. My knees peel loveless. The dogs piss on my rusty chain. I sometimes feel like a house. Others like a person who plays at having a house. The years pass. At night, the mucaros note my slow motion decline. The mice bring crumbs. I'm occupied by centipedes and clothes moths. I develop new habits. I call it a lifestyle. Solitude accompanies me through the day's phases, a second sun that begs toward the sky. I know the world hasn't ended, but I see how the neighbors moved, their homes unsold, soon to accompany me in our solitudes. From afar, my owners imagine me unchanged. I start to pity their idea of who I was, their hope of recovering me soon, soon. But I am some ruins that aspire to become house. But I am some ruins. It's from the first section, de la primera sección. I think I'm just gonna read like a lot from a section I feel very strongly about. La independencia de Puerto Rico, the independence of Puerto Rico. Oh my God, I see new faces and then I see people I know and love so much. So I'm very excited. Okay. So each poem in this section has the same title. I wanted to imagine it as a multiverse. They all are La independencia de Puerto Rico, the independence of Puerto Rico. In part, I did it because I just kind of wanted to mess with the fact that so many people are uncomfortable with talking about independence, but so comfortable talking about statehood. But also, I did imagine it as a multiverse, and I kind of frame it with a Fanon quote where he talks about how the first thing the colonized learns is to not move, right? To stay in place, right? It's sort of like unmoving. So I imagined like each of our lives sort of as this linear trajectory, but sort of all roads leading to Rome type thing, except all roads leading to the independence of Puerto Rico. So I was like, okay, well, even if we couldn't move, what if there were these paths that were all taking us somehow to the same place? And it is this freedom. So I'm going to read some from this section. La independencia de Puerto Rico. ¿No te sentirás solito? Algunos preguntarán. ¿Al quedarte a solas con tus cosechas? ¿Solo tus playas para visitar? ¿Solo tus montañas para subir en carro? ¿Hasta que la carretera sea precipicio con una madera fina de papel de regalo amarrada con un lazo de pluma de gallina con firma de perro sato? ¿No extrañarás los sonidos que entran filtrados por otro mundo? La algarabía del descubrimiento constante torcido para formar los blasones. Tu esperanza con casco siempre en el campo de batalla, siempre a la defensiva. ¿No te abandonarán tus dioses? ¿Tus hijos no cruzarán mares correteando hacia el pecho de aquella nación mayor? ¿No te negarán la alegría como vienes en el puerto? ¿No te castigarán por manifestar aquel sueño? ¿No volverán con más ejércitos, pistolas más grandes, estrategias más densas, nuevas elecciones? ¿Pondrás en peligro a todos tus viejos amantes, quienes buscándote en un mundo reorganizado, tocarán la puerta errada y morirán? No morirás. Tu muerte no será como un nuevo planeta, vaciado de todo aquello por lo cual luchaste. Te llamarán terrorista Un día no regresarás y todos se enterarán de que en el cuerpo retenías demasiada independencia. No romperás, no arruinarás las aguas. Algunos preguntarán, ¿cómo sabes si funcionará? ¿Cómo te puedes asegurar de que no acabará con lo poco que tenemos, los cupones que hemos ahorrado, los apartamentos apestillados que guardan, viejos marcos, récords de los trabajos que perdimos, la gente que perdimos en la jeringuía o en los sótanos de ciudades lejanas? Aquí tienes un matre que usamos hace 15 años y guarda la historia de nuestra resistencia. Esto se lo llevará tu empeño en salvarnos. Mira lo que nos dieron. Estas promesas interminables que algún día quizás se cumplan. Sin ellas, no se sentirá el vacío. Gracias a todos los fuegos, no se sentirá como si todo lo que tenemos fueran latas almacenadas y una tierra que no sirve. Tendremos que luchar. Y sabes que tras la lucha, no nos queda lucha. Ellos enviarán nuevas naciones para matarnos y entonces, ¿qué ofrecerás? Tu bandera y tu orgullo. No quedarás relegado al olvido. Tus restos no se hundirán en la tierra como huesos de taíno. No votes a los buenos colonizadores con la poca agua de lluvia que recolectaste. No es su culpa que beben de un pozo llano. Para volver a sus casas con piscinas y sus cabañas frente al lago, ellos también necesitan como nosotros, ellos también. ¿No te resultaría mejor visitar a tu cura, ir a terapia de pareja, trabajar juntos para arreglar la relación? ¿No confías en que mejorarán las cosas? Mira a todas las naciones modelo en sus filas largas, por lo menos tienen aire acondicionado en el sesco imperial. ¿No te persiguirá esta decisión? Asegúrate de que quieres hacer esto. Nos queda poco. ¿Por qué te atas a cosas imposibles? Siempre será diferente de lo que te imaginas. ¿Y quién dice que será mejor? ¿Cómo estás seguro? ¿No te arrepentirás? ¿No desearás tener jefe? ¿No te sentirás inquieto con tanta libertad? The Independence of Puerto Rico. Won't it be lonely, some ask? To have only your crops growing, only your beaches to visit, only your mountains to drive up until the road is a cliff with thin wood wrapping tied with chicken feather bow with a scribbled stray dog name? Won't you miss the sounds that filter through from other worlds, the clanking of being discovered? Constantly bent into crests, your helmeted hope forever afield, forever on guard? Won't your gods leave you? Won't your children scamper across oceans into the bosom of that older nation? Won't your joys be withheld like goods in the port? Won't you be punished for the dream you chose to manifest? Won't they come back with more armies, bigger guns, denser strategies, new elections? You'll endanger all your old lovers who, desperately trying to find you in a rearranged world, will knock on the wrong door and die. Won't you die? Won't your death look like a new planet emptied of all you fought for? They'll call you a terrorist. You'll never return one day. And everyone will know you held too much independence. Won't you break? Won't it ruin the waters? Some will ask, how do you know it will work? How can you be sure it won't just take down the little we have? The coupons we've saved, the cramped apartments that store old frames, records of jobs we've lost, people we lost to the needle, or basements in far-off cities. This here is a 15-year-old mattress, and it holds the history of our endurance. This will be swept up in your rush to save us. Look at what we've been given, these interminable promises that may one day deliver. Without them, won't it be empty? Won't it feel like all we have are stored cans and land, useless from all the burnings? We'll have to fight. And you know, after a fight, there's no fight left. They will send new nations to kill us. And then what will you offer? Your flag and your pride? Won't you be forgotten? Won't your remnants sink into the earth like Taino bones? Don't throw out the good colonizers with the little rainwater you've gathered. It's not their fault they drink from a shallow well, then head back home to pools and lake cabins. They too need, like us, they too. Won't you be better off seeing your priest, going to couples therapy, working on this together? Don't you trust things can get better? Look at all the model nations in their long lines. At least they have air conditioning in the Imperial DMV. Won't you be haunted by this one choice? Make sure you want to do this. We have so little left. Why do you cling to impossible things? It will always be unlike what you imagine. And who says that will be better? How do you know? Won't you be sorry? Won't you wish you had a boss? Won't you get restless with all that freedom?
La independencia de Puerto Rico. Gracias. It's a weird time to be here. I didn't want to and couldn't cancel this trip, but there's still light, still no electricity for a lot of Puerto Rico. Thanks to Luma, the Junta imposed private energy company. And today, the UTIER, the workers union for the Autoridad, which was the company that was there before the state company, they were like, yeah, well, Luma didn't give any maintenance to the, you know, the plant that blew up. That's why, for like 9 months, so that's why it blew up. I laugh, but it's also really messed up because, you know, you have older people who need, you know, respirators and things and machines, and they don't have money to buy generators. So it just ends up being another thing, right? Another colonial thing. Yeah. Cool. La independencia de Puerto Rico. Los enemigos afilan nuestra tristeza y la entierran en nuestras ganas de luchar. Si alguna vez amaste a pesar del levo, aunque ahora te arrepientas, si tomaste el riesgo leve de nadar sin ver el fondo, si saliste de ahí, si evitaste el doctor y fuiste a la playa, si votaste en contra de tus padres, si rompiste una regla simple, probaste papel de baño, te comiste el pare que decía Coca-Cola, te diste pal y llegaste a casa, probaste ostras insalubres, entonces entiendes. Te escocotaste, te rompieron el corazón, te mataron las ganas, cometiste errores indelebles, te enfermaste lejos de un hospital, perdiste amigos, casi mueres, quizás mueres. Pero eso te puede pasar en casa, tranquilo, viendo Netflix y comiendo popcorn. Así que ponte a arreglar las carreteras del mañana. Come lo que te da la gana, a la hora que sea. Cuéntale del abuso a tu madre. Sal del closet y graba videos, aunque te acribillen en Santurce. Enfrenta al gobernador. Cocina para tu corillo y que sea bien enorme. Un pueblo fuera de un pueblo. Múdate, pero vuelve. Vivimos bajo el fascismo. ¿Crees que puedes evitar el dolor? Defiende tu alegría, reapropiate de tus recursos, ocupa todos los edificios y cuando vengan a desahuciar, diles que quiénes son, con sus dictaduras mundanas y en serio, ¿quiénes son? Si tomaste el camino de la cautela, igual te explotaron, te humillaron en el banco, te plancharon los biles, te tradujeron, te escupieron en el café, te fallecieron naturalmente y eso que fuiste bueno toda la vida. No pierdes nada que no tengas. Vivimos con tiempo robado. The independence of Puerto Rico. Our enemies sharpen our sadness and bury it in our desire to fight back. If you ever loved against should, despite regret's hangover, if you took the light risk and swam where you saw no bottom, if you drank until you cried for your abuser, if you left them, if you avoided the doctor and went to the beach, if you voted against your parents, if you broke a simple rule, stole toilet paper, ran the stop sign that said Coca-Cola, if you had a few and went home, ate insalubrious oysters, then you understand. You busted your head, they broke your heart, they killed your yearning, you made indelible mistakes. You got sick far from the hospital, you lost friends, you almost died, maybe you died. But that can happen to you at home. watching Netflix and eating popcorn. So get to work fixing tomorrow's roads. Eat what you want at all hours. Tell your mother about the abuse. Leave the closet and record videos even when they shoot you down in Santurce. Confront the governor. Cook for your corillo and may it be immense. A people outside a people. Move away but come back. We live under fascism. Do you think you can avoid pain? Defend your joy. Reappropriate your resources, occupy all the buildings, and when they come evict you, tell them who are they with their mundane dictatorships. Seriously, who are they? If you took the cautious path, they still exploited you. They humiliated you at the bank. They ironed your bills. They translated you. They spit in your coffee. They gave you a natural death. And you were good your whole life. You won't lose what you don't have. We live on stolen time. Leo dos más. I'll read two more. Okay. La independencia de Puerto Rico. Somos más fieros que la nieve derretida. Somos más grandes que un cementerio de vagones. Somos más rabiosos que los vientos atascados. Somos más inmensos que los ríos en el mar. Somos más amplios que las tiranías gastadas. Somos más tiernos que las raíces con la tierra. Somos más tiernos que la lluvia en el musgo. Somos más tiernos que el temblor del aguacero. Somos más fuertes que los años fajones. Somos más bravos que la angustia acosadora. Somos más bellos que las monarquías universales. Somos más geos que la buena vida soñada. Somos más ricos que los puertos robados. Somos más piratas que los gobiernos federales. Somos más justicieros que los dioses armados. Somos más que lo más mínimo y más que lo más mejor. Somos insularmente suficientes. No le debemos a nadie la vergüenza. No le debemos a nadie la pequeñez. Nos dicen por toda una vida siglada y quintuplegada que somos la menor de las mayores, que somos mucho de lo menos y muy poco de lo más. Pero somos más que lo que dicen, más de lo que se imaginan y más de lo que hasta hoy nos hemos imaginado. Somos las bibliotecas de las casas juntadas en una huelga de datos que añoran sus entrañas de carne historiada. Somos una latitud de correas atadas, sierpes que mudaron su piel de castigo por una cinta de medir el globo para saber si el mundo puede expandirse abriendo pechos. Somos ese cálculo que traza hoy, toca fondo. Somos la fortaleza sin españoles, la caja torácica que expira el viejo imperio donde antes se almacenaban cruzadas. Somos fatales, es decir, la muerte de las trincheras y los gobiernos que las inducen. Somos altaneros en la costa y humildes en la cordillera. Y por eso recogemos café y lo sembramos en los edificios que construimos, los niños que cuidamos, las solicitudes exponenciales que completamos. Y en todos somos independientes. Hasta en el hueco más colonizado del temor poroso. Hasta en la panadería más llena de periódicos de anuncios. Hasta en el acto corrosivo de decir que somos islas solamente. Hasta eso lo hemos hecho mirándonos las caras, juntando los bloques de cemento, armando los almacenes de los vecinos, hasta en la lejanía hemos sido nosotros, nosotros los que llegamos al correo y enviamos latas y baterías. No temas lo que ya conoces. Llevamos una vida temiéndonos mientras nos roban extraños. Míranos bien. ¿No ves que somos hermosura? The Independence of Puerto Rico. We are fiercer than melted snow. We are bigger than storage cemeteries. We are more rabid than mired winds. We are immenser than rivers and sea. We are wider than wasted tyrannies. We are more tender than roots with earth. We are more tender than rain and moss. We are more tender than downpour's tremor. We are stronger than overworked years. We are braver than stalking anguish. We are more beautiful than universal monarchies. We are more hevos than the dreamt good life. We are richer than stolen ports. We are more pirates than federal governments. We are more justice-seeking than armed gods. We are more than the minimum and more than the most. We are insularly sufficient. We owe no one shame. We owe no one smallness. They tell us for whole centuried and quintuplentaried life that we are the smallest of the upper, that we are much of the less and too little of the more, but we are more than what they say, more than what they imagine, and more than to this day we have imagined. We are home libraries gathered in a data strike that miss their bowels of historied flesh. We are a latitude of tide belt serpents who shed their punishing skins, make a tape to measure the globe and know if the world can expand by opening chests. We are that calculation that traces today and hits rock bottom. We are the fortaleza without Spaniards, the ribcage that expires the old empire, where before they housed crusades. We are fatal, meaning the death of trenches and the governments that induce them. We are high and mighty on the coast and humble in the mountains. We gather coffee and plant it in the buildings we build, the children we raise, the exponential applications we complete. And in all things, we are independent. Even in the most colonized hole of our poorest fear, even in the panaderia most packed with papers that cover ads, even in the corrosive act of saying we are only an island, even that we have done, looking each other in the face, gathering cement blocks, arming the neighbor's storage rooms, even from afar, it has been us who has gone to the post office and sent cans and batteries. Don't fear what you already know. We've spent a lifetime fearing ourselves while getting robbed by strangers. Look at us. Look closely. Don't you see we are beauty?
Nada. La frase boricua bestial is the last poem. La frase boricua bestial es como... just an expression we sort of used to be like, or people sort of used to be like in the negative, like when we do something really messed up, it's like a sign of our bestiality would be the translation, right? And so this has always struck me, right? For so many reasons. But yeah, this is kind of responding to that term and the way we often in Puerto Rico talk about us. El arca. ¿Cuál de los mares es tuyo? Le pregunto a la arena, pero no me dice nada la malagradecida. ¿Cuál de los montes te debo? Le pregunto al cielo, pero no me contesta el engreído. ¿Cuántos ríos sobran? Le pregunto a la ceiba, pero ella no me habla, la más profunda. ¿Cuánto dolor nos falta? Le pregunto a los pitires, pero ellos hace tiempo no saben contestarme. ¿Cuánto vale un racimo? Le pregunto al árbol, pero sudar no tiene precio, el altanero. ¿Cuántos boricuas bestiales llenan un sueño? Le pregunto a la noche que sin dueño se luce. Y me contesta riendo, todos cabemos. The Ark. The Ark. Which of these waters is yours? I ask the sand. But she ungratefully says nothing. Which of these mountains do I owe? I ask the sky. But he is spoiled and won't answer. How many rivers are left? I ask the ceiba. But she acts deep. Stays speechless. How much more pain comes our way? I ask the pitires, but it's been a while since they responded. How much is a cluster worth? I ask the tree, but he is stuck up and bears no price. How many bestial boricuas fill a dream? I ask the night that masterless shines and laughingly answers,
There's room for us all.
Gracias. And now I want to ask Cynthia Dewey-Oka to come up and join me. Hi, friend.
I have notes on my phone because I am a student of Raquel's work. And I actually wanted to read an excerpt.
Okay, yeah.
From "The Poet Defends His Right to a Future and Demands Its Immediate Redistribution." It's an amazing poem. For time, I'm just going to read this part. "Thick is the forest, volatile my character. I don't deliver or contain even when you stare. I didn't come to clean the nooks where you hide your hurts. I'm no prophet of otherness. Discovery arrived and left full of me without me." I remember like pretty much breaking down in tears when I read that. I mean, there's so many moments. I read this book as an argument.
I like that.
And as a manifesto, and as a love letter. I think to all of the people, it's like to all of the wretched of the earth. You know, and I'm so moved, of course, like the many details that appear in the book about the way that colonialism has also merged with like neo-colonial techniques have manifested in the island, and it's something that is really specific to Puerto Rico, but transcends. Like, I think that the singing in this book, the rage, the grief, the love also transcends that. And I wanted to ask you, you know, because I think that there's this movement in the poem. There's like the two lines. You actually read the poem. But I am ruins that aspire to be house, to become house. But I am ruins. And there is this incredible transformation. Like when you leave out the aspirational part. And I almost feel like, for me anyway, as a reader, that those two lines really unlocked the book for me. They happen early in the book. And, you know, that's like a really poetic and also political decision not to end with, "But I am ruins that aspire to become house," but to end with, "But I am ruins." And this idea that like ruins are living too, that volcanoes may be the beginning to a future. There are these arrivals in the book, these counter destinies and these counter destinations. I love that you talked about the multiverse, because like we didn't talk about the book before this, you know. So like that was the language in which I was like understanding it, but like once you said that, I was like, that makes total sense. That's why there are like multiple arrivals. And I really felt like those two lines like unlocked that for me. And I wonder if you can share a little bit about the journey, the emotional, lyric, perhaps even political journey that it took in the space between those two lines, because it's massive, actually.
First of all, it's very beautiful and very moving reading of a book that does mean a lot to me, so thank you. I began writing this. I was invited to submit a manuscript by Cindy Jimenez Vera for a press that no longer exists. She went into debt continuing to print the books after Maria. And then eventually she had to shut the press down. And then she wanted me to write a children's book. And at first I was like, I'm like really like depressing. I don't know. I don't know if you've like read my poetry. Yeah, I know she'd read it, but you know, I was like, I don't know if I can do that. You know, I tend to, my style is a little like more goth. I don't know. I was like, I don't know if this is like my thing. I was like, maybe the children shouldn't be around me, you know,
you
kind
have,
of
like
vibe.
A little goth anti-colonial.
Yeah, I could see that, but I felt like maybe I wasn't the best influence. I was worried, you know, for the future. And then I was like, okay, let me not be that person, right? I mean, poets were supposed to be open to pushing our own boundaries to an extent, you know, and rethinking formally and, you know, thematically what we're doing. And it's like, okay, I can try and be like, you know, happy or whatnot. And then I started reading it, and originally the poems were a lot, there's a lot more rhymed poetry, you know. And there were poems, many poems that did not make it into the book. There was an earlier version, and it became the last section, which I read the last poem of, right? And I don't know if you can hear, but it sounds more like a children's, like a child could read it, you know? And so, but I tried to maintain some of that spirit throughout it, right? But as I continued writing, it dawned on me that I was very comfortable with talking about how terrible things were, but I was not comfortable thinking about the future, and in part because I really hated when people talked about the future because it was so prescriptive, right? You know, I don't know if it was like being around so many socialists, but I was, it always felt like, you know, my mother's always like talking about when the revolution comes, and I just be like, you know, I hear you. Also, like, you know, it feels weird to pin everything on this like moment, right? And so it was really hard for me. I also didn't want to be that person that was like telling people what the future was, because I feel like poets so often get like self-ascribed this visionary role. And I was making this joke earlier. I was like, poets aren't really visionary. I was like, yeah, if that were true, right? Like, there's a lot I would predict, you know? you know, like the way comedians will be like, we're truth tellers. And yeah, I'm like, are you? Or are you shit talkers that sometimes tell the truth? That's different, right? So I feel like poets are, they're doing a lot and a lot of important work, but it's not necessarily always visionary, right? And so I shied away from that. I think I was comfortable talking about what I knew and what was close at hand and what, you know, and then I was like, so how do you talk about the future? You know, so immediately I thought of decolonial thinkers and activists and fighters who had not just thought about the future, but had like played a part in shaping it. And I thought of Fanon, you know, from Martinique. I had the honor of visiting Martinique, you know, many years ago, and I always think about how difficult it is to like travel within the Caribbean, you know. So, and Martinique was just like, wow, this place produced so many incredible poets and writing, like Glissant and Fanon and Césaire, right? And then at the same time, right, like, when Fanon is talked about, right, true historian, scholar, so on and so forth, talk about him in that sense. But I wonder how many people think of Martinique, you know? And so,
they think Algeria.
So I don't know. I kind of wanted to think about that, right? Not about Martinique because I'm not from there, right? But I wanted to think about Puerto Rico in that way. So a lot of this started coming up for me. And I think that when I started writing it, I realized that I didn't know what I wanted to say, right, about a future world. And as an exercise, like it was an exercise initially, and then it became something else. And I realized that, you know, I don't remember who said this, but, you know, that cynicism or pessimism, like, helped or served capitalism, right? And so I was like, yes, I do want to have the space for grief and to talk about all these ways in which I hurt. And those aren't mutually exclusive things, but I need to be able to articulate what I want, not just what I lack, you know? And so I became very obsessed with the idea that the more they take, the more we have to demand, sort of, you know? Yeah. Like the more, because I, you know, studying all these social movements, you say, okay, the right keeps taking things, and then people start demanding less and less because they're like, well, we have to demand something that's reasonable or something that's within reach or something that's doable, right? And then I was like, well, that's, I mean, we should do the opposite then, right? We should, the more they take, the more we should be like, I want more, you know, I want, why that's are you, instead of that's adjusting to that, right? Basically, that was how it started, and then it became very freeing for me as a book, like on a personal, it's hard to know where that line is, if it even is, you know, on that everything level. It was a very freeing book to write. And I think I realized that as I was writing it, I quieted the voices. And it was calming to me, you know, and it, sometimes I was worried it was too simple or silly, honestly. Mm. I was like, is it too something? I don't know, is it too, because I tend to write very Baroque sometimes. Mm. And then I was like, I don't care, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, these poems make me happy.
Yeah, I think that there is like an intimacy in this book, in the voice. And perhaps like, maybe that's like an effect of the fact that it is distinctly less Baroque than your other works. I don't think that it is less complex, though, which is, like, different, right? Which, I mean, I just, like, get really, really stuck on those lines because I feel like the book doesn't shy... And I think this is, like, the book doesn't shy away from the ruins. And that means the book doesn't shy away from all that exists in the ruins, which is there's so much life. And there is so much, I kind of like hate the word resilience at this point, because it's more than resilience. It's like there's something deeper than that, you know? It's like a will to continue. And to me, as like someone who comes from like another, like my homeland, like fought for our independence and then like killed each other and then became like a neo-colonial playground. There's so much that resonates for me because I think I think we're also like entering this political cultural moment where it feels like we can't hold both things together. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't have grief and joy. You can't have life and death, except like all of these things are together. And I wanted to ask you actually about a series of poems that you didn't read from tonight, but I really encourage all of you to, I mean, you all need to get the book. But there is like, in the rights poems, I think there is a really direct it's not negotiation, because it's like you're not negotiating. The poet is not negotiating. The poet is, and maybe you don't intend it to be visionary, then like let's say it is being disruptive then. Let's say it is like reopening, because I mean, you are very deliberately taking the language of rights, which is very much what is at stake and what gets used to govern us, right? So like, it's like our right, it's like whether it's the right to self-determination, it's like that is the language in which we speak. And then people are talking about the like the right to water, the right to, I don't know, democracy, in whose name so many wars and occupations have been waged. But you really do this like kind of really disciplined series of interventions that are lyric and reopen the way that we conceptualize rights at all. So I just like love to invite you to talk a little bit about why rights.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I want to go back quickly to the poem you mentioned, right, about the house. Part of it is like literally traveling through Puerto Rico and watching all the houses that people left behind when they moved to the U.S. that they like haven't sold because they're hoping to move back to at some point, and that, that sometimes they haven't sold because it's the house has fallen apart so much that it's it's a hassle to like figure out how to sell it, right?
Yeah.
So there's also like very real ruins, you know, that are there, and it's easy. I just kind of want to romanticize them because they're very beautiful, right? As ruins, but I, you know, but it's also devastating. So it's like, I feel like that summarizes how I feel about a lot, right? But going back to your question of rights, I just think that it's really hard, right? Because there's so much debate about representation, especially right in arts and literature, and also political representation. And so Puerto Rico, right? Of course, like representation, I immediately think of like literally having no political representation, right, as a colony. And so for me, the language of rights also became like, it just kind of like a joke, right? In the sense of, you know, like, well, I can debate this all day, right? And I can talk about the language of rights, but, you know, and Puerto Rico, we do, right? They're constantly debating the relationship to the United States, but it will never cross over into the United States because there's no political power. So, right? So it's like ahí, right? It's like there, and it's like you have three political parties and they're organized around the question of whether or not, what our colonial relationship is to the United States, right? And every year people are having campaigns and debates for, you know, one of the three political parties around this question of status. And in the U.S., people don't even know that they're, what the political parties are and what their deal is, right? Yeah. So for me, it's like always this kind of like terrible and humorous and not humorous like situation where it's like, well, sure, you want me to speak about this place where I'm from and it's my home, and but what are the terms, right, under which I am speaking? Like, what are the conditions for me to be able to speak? Well, that they be in English, that it be in English, right? That it be in a certain way, that it be in a way that is understandable. To, and so I became more and more aware, especially as I was touring and reading from books about Maria, about trauma, about Promesa, that, you know, not all of my audiences, obviously there were all kinds of people in the audience, but, hola, right? But there was definitely, like, some kinds of audience that wanted a performance from me, right? Of something that was very confusing to me, right? Because I had never been in that position, mostly because people just don't know about poetry in Puerto Rico, right? Or even aware that it is or exists, right? So it was weird because it was my way of kind of thinking through that demand to represent, right? When in fact there is precisely a question of representation that is political, right? That is at the fore of everything, you know, I do or write. I don't know if
that's right. Yes.
It's an answer or not, but
I think that's a really great answer because the language of rights is so tied. We can't conceive it without, it's like you have representation and then you have rights.
Yeah.
So there is, you know, it's like,
or you have citizenship.
Yeah. That's right. And, you know, I think the rights here is like the right to be stoned. You know, the right to, is it a burning mouth?
To burn one's mouth.
To burn one's mouth. So anyway, I want to turn it over to the audience.
Hi, my name is Ella. Thank you so much for this gift tonight. I would love to hear you talk a little bit about writing the poems in Spanish versus writing them in English and what you choose to translate literally and what words you change or don't change. And like, is one of them the actual poem? Is both of them the poem together?
May I? I actually had a...
Yeah. I'll cover it all. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
My question was essentially, who is the audience? Oh, sorry. Who is the audience of the English? Who are you thinking? Mm-hmm. Are you thinking of other colonial subjects? Are you thinking of demanda of mm-hmm. of the colonial power? I mean, to whom do you address when you speak in it, when you write in English? And then my question also, you know, how do you decide which words to leave in Spanish? So it's like, you know, corillo, mucaro. Like, how do you come to those choices? I think I echo in her question.
I think I've been waiting for that last question, like every reading I give, and no one asks it, because people will be like, who is your perceived audience in the singular, right? And so my first answer is always, pues Puerto Rico, ¿verdad? But then if you've split it that way, as I have in my books, right, it becomes a different question. Mm-hmm. So, número uno, gracias for finally asking me that question. I've been waiting so long for someone to ask it. Yeah, like palabras como gorillo y mucaro are words that to me, I would be doing violence to them and translating them. You know, like mucaro is not, I had an editor once be like screech owl. I'm like, no, because it is, actually, like biologically, like in terms of the sciences, it is it's a species that is in Puerto Rico. It's not a screech owl from the U.S. So you want me to translate, like, you want me to change the animal? Like, you know,
right.
So, you know, corillo, for example, I mean, I have at times translated as crew with some equivalency, but it is also very much like a way of you know, interacting in Puerto Rico, which I can kind of, like, break down in a longer sentence, but it's not like a word will work like that. It's true that all language has that quality intrinsically, but I think that it's a like quantitative difference that becomes a qualitative difference, you know, and that it's so different that it actually becomes sort of violent to translate it. And as for my perceived audience in English, you know, I think in general, other oppressed peoples, different kinds of oppressed peoples, I believe, in general, I'm open to almost anyone reading it, right? In the sense that it is my experience of the world, and you know, and how I perceive the world from where I'm from, and as long as it's respected as a difference, right? Like, I'm good with anyone reading it, right? But there are limits to that, anyone, right? Like, I don't care what David Skeel or any member of the, you know, like the Oversight and Management Board thinks of my poetry. I don't want them promoting my work or interested in my, right? So there are limits to that, right? Mm-hmm. It's not it's a limited infinity set, right? It includes maybe all positive numbers, but not all negative numbers type thing, right? So I am not interested in certain people. Like, I'm not interested in white supremacists and what they think of my work, right? So there are limits, too. But yes, I would say that first and foremost, other types of colonized peoples, and that is very broad in my definition of it. It's a broad definition. It's not maybe as classic, and you know, it's more decolonial than anti-colonial. But thank you for asking it. I've been waiting a really long time for that question. I think we're good on time, right?
Thank you.
Gracias a ti.
Thank you so much for this treasure.
Gracias a ti. You were really wonderful to talk to. Gracias a ustedes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.